podcasting brought to you by New Constructs, an independent investment research firm committed to helping our clients invest wisely and confidently. Visit newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer. Today I'm going to share my outlook for the U.S. stock markets 2015. Before I get started, I want to remind everyone how to access our research, newconstructs.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, StockTwits. We're everywhere, anytime, anyplace, anywhere on our website. The best earnings quality and valuation research in the world on the U.S. stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds we cover. So I recently published my fourth quarter letter to investors for 2014. And when I do that, I typically, it's sort of my beginning of the subsequent year, and that's 2015 for us here, thoughts on the market for the following year. And I'm not going to go through everything in the letter. And it's my quarterly letter for our hedge fund that we run. We eat our own cooking here with respect to using our data and our models. The big takeaway I want to point out to folks is that there's a couple things that I think the media is sensationalizing that we probably shouldn't worry about that much. Number one, rise in interest rates. Anything that makes the dollar that much stronger is only going to put the rest of the world into further economic peril. And the rest of the world is in economic peril, all right? We're seeing signs of the degree and the depth of the peril, not just in the Greek issue. I talked about that. That's not really a big deal. But for bigger countries like France, where long-term underemployment, long-term underproductivity compared to the rest of the world, places like France, Italy, the Arab nations, Russia, these are major economies in major parts of the world that are seeing real issues because of their socialist tendencies, their redistribution tendencies. So they've seen lesser productivity. They're chasing off the talented people. There are charts that show this stuff in great relief. The number of people who start their own businesses or have advanced degrees are fleeing these countries. What would you do if you had an idea to start a business and you could do it anywhere in the world you wanted to do it? Would you do it anyplace else but the United States? I would bet that 90% of the people in the world, if posed that question, would say they would do it in the United States. We've got the best infrastructure. We've got this most stable economy, stable political system. You know you're not going to get taken to the cleaners too bad on taxes. It's worse in other places. Hopefully it won't get worse here. The point is, places like France, Arab world, you in Russia, they're feeling they're seeing the consequences of their redistributive economic policies. They've run off the productive people. And now you've got places that are becoming breeding grounds for terrorists. Not so much in Russia, I don't think, we don't know for sure, but you know what happened in France recently with the Charlie Hebdo magazine. What's going on there is a result, I think, of long-term underemployment, not necessarily unemployment, but people who are underutilized, underutilization. Long-term underemployment creates resentment, and it's resentment and apathy where terrorists go to recruit. They're not going to get the happy people, the productive people, the rich people. They're going to get the people that are resentful and unhappy and feeling like they can't get a fair chance in life. The United States isn't perfect, but it's the place you'll get the fairest shot. And that's part of why we have the most productive economy in the world, and part of why we continue to attract the most productive people in the world. So, my outlook for the U.S. markets, it's going to be challenging, but it's not going to blow up. We've got the most productivity. And where, at the end of the day, is the average global investor going to put their money? What market is a better place for your money? There's going to be a race for dollar-denominated assets as currencies around the rest of the world are going to continue to get weak against the dollar. And the Fed now in its monetary policy has to think about being not just easy in the United States, but they got to balance that with the need to be easy with the rest of the world. If they start being less easy in the United States and make our currency any stronger, our exports are going to go really low, and we're really going to put people in the rest of the world at a very big, in an even bigger disadvantage than they already are. So The takeaway is that the United States is going to have continue to have the strongest economy. We're going to continue to attract the greatest talent. And it's really kind of a message now for the rest of the world, you know, that they've got to kind of get on board with a way to run a country. In his excellent book, The End of History and the Last Man, Francis Fukuyama, 1992, has this quote: "What we may be witnessing is not just the end of the Cold War or the passing of a particular period of post-war history, but the end of history is such, that is, the end point of mankind's ideological evolution and the universalization of Western liberal democracy as the final form of human government." He goes on to say that it's hard to make a straight-faced argument for other forms of government, including socialism and communism, and imperialism. We've also got tyranny in Africa and certain Arab countries. These models don't work. They breed instability, they breed terrorism, they breed horror, they breed poverty, they breed all the things that are anathema to us in the United States. Our first world problems are amazing and wonderful compared to what these second and third world countries are experiencing. And it's because of leadership and overall bad policies. And we're seeing that even those countries that try to straddle the line, like a France, that try to be liberal, democratic, capitalistic, but ultimately a little bit more socialistic because they're redistributing wealth as much as they are, we're seeing the downfall of those countries because of those policies. That's the difference between Southern Europe and Northern Europe. In Northern Europe, it's more capitalist, and Southern Europe, it's more socialist. It's not working out so well, and it's never going to work out that well, because at the end of the day, it's about attracting talent and providing motivation. It's incentive that drives people. That's why we started the United States to begin with. We wanted freedom and the ability to earn the reward that we deserve for our work, which means don't overtax us. That's why we are the greatest country. That's how we became the greatest country in the world. That's why we will remain the greatest country. Because people aren't going to go to China to start a business. They're not going to go to France. They're not going to go to Russia. And when it comes down to it, they're probably going to come to the United States before they go to any other well-developed country like a Germany or the United Kingdom. We've got the lowest cost of capital. We've got the best infrastructure. We've got the greatest minds. We've got the best economy. We've got the safest society. It's hard to argue. So our markets will remain strong. Even if they are fairly overvalued in some places, you're just going to have to do your diligence, whether you're long or short. And trust me, I understand that. I've been short on the wrong side. And there's some stocks out there that are absurdly overvalued. But there's a lot of money out there chasing a relatively small number of stocks. And a big part of what's driven the rise in the market in the last few years has been a sort of imbalance between supply and demand. Think something like the total number of shares available in the United States is as much as 10% lower than it was about 10 years ago because of all the buybacks and acquisitions and mergers. I think that's shifting a little bit in the other direction. But at the end of the day, as the market becomes, the United States market becomes more of a destination, as more and more global investors are looking to be invested in U.S. dollar-denominated securities, again, the demand is going to be strong. And the supply is what it is. We saw a lot of IPOs this year. We saw a lot of crazy IPOs this year. We're seeing a very overvalued U.S. market. But I tell you what, if we're the strongest country in the world, our economy is doing better than just about anyone else in the world, large economies in general anyway, and some of these other major economies are sort of on the edge. Eurozone's on the edge. Russia's on the brink. South America's in bad shape. That's the last thing that the last thing the Fed can do, can risk, is for U.S. markets to go lower. And we've seen time and time again, anytime the U.S. markets go down, the Fed steps in and says, oh, everything's going to be okay, and it rises right back up. So U.S. markets are not going to crash. I don't think they're going to take off like they did in the last couple of years. We're not going to see double-digit returns, I don't think. But we're not going to see a crash. We might see some dips. We might see a lot of volatility, but we'll have a decent year. But we're not going to see a crash because we can't afford to have a crash in the U.S. The U.S. market crashes, the U.S. economy crashes, what happens to the world? It's bad shape. We're the leaders. We're going to stay up. And if there's any place where assets can afford to be can most afford or best afford to be overvalued, it's in the United States, where the productivity growth at least has a chance of catching up with the valuations. When it comes to making investments, though, I still highly recommend don't just put your money where you think the momentum is. Don't assume that just because there's strong demand for US dollar denominated assets, you should be reckless with your money. Be smart. Understand risk reward. Understand cash flows. Understand valuation. It's just a smarter way to do things. And it's not that hard. And it's not that expensive. I know because I know the prices of my product. You can get access to our work for as little as $49 a month. $49 a month to protect your portfolio, to protect your retirement, to protect your children, protect your health care fund, protect your health. To drop in the bucket for doing things right. And we do it because we want to provide a service that adds value to people in our country. We're not here to rip you off. We're here to do the right thing. We could charge 10 times that much. But we do it because we want everyone to have access to it because we believe everyone should. So be careful in the market this year. Don't worry about a huge crash, but do be careful because there could be some crashes in individual stocks and certain sectors that are highly overvalued. It always pays to do your homework.